If you're new to the parish or a visitor, during Advent and Lent, I always give my homily in two parts. And the first part is speaking about a sign or symbol or something about the Mass itself, because there's such a rich depth to the Mass that we often miss just because we get used to how things have done, or we just see things always, and so we miss out on some of the meaning that's behind some of these things. And which is so important, because there is a intentionality and great depth to what we do here at Mass. And some of those things even start before I even process down the aisle. And this is the vestments that I wear. And I thought today would be a great day to be able to walk through how I prepare, even with my vestments, to coming over and celebrating Mass. And so I brought an extra set here that I have that I'm going to walk through. And what's beautiful is that each article of vestments that I put on has a prayer that goes with it. And so as I'm putting on each article, I'm starting to pray before I even celebrate Mass. And we see this beautiful progression of these prayers as it becomes more about kind of, as we to take the example of John the Baptist, who says, "I must decrease, he must increase," that as I'm putting on each vestment, I'm putting more and more of Christ upon me. And so it's a reminder to all of us that it is not me, Tim Shoemaker, who celebrates Mass, but it is Jesus Christ himself who is celebrating this Mass and every Mass that we go to. And so the very first article that I put on is the amice. This is what the amice is. And generally it goes around my shoulders like so, and then I wrap it around and tie it around my waist, and then I tuck it into my collar, so you can kind of see the one I'm wearing right now. And as I'm putting on the amice, I pray this prayer: "Lord, set the helmet of salvation on my head to fend off all the assaults of the devil." And so we see this beautiful initial progression of getting rid of temptation in my life, that this amice is a reminder to me to fight against temptation, the first thing that separates us from God, which is sin. But it's also a reminder to me that during Mass, I should continue to fight against temptations to get distracted during Mass. And it's a reminder to stay focused and have that armor of protection to be able to protect myself from any temptations that come my way, even during the celebration of Mass, but especially during my life. I think it's a beautiful thing that, you know, as I go through all of these, that each one of us can maybe incorporate into our own preparation for Mass. I think it's especially beautiful to think about that as the priest walks down, it's not like I'm just putting on my work clothes and waltzing in, but that I've already prepared to celebrate this beautiful prayer that we have. So, this is the amice. Next, and I don't have one here, but I put on the alb, which is this long white robe and what the servers themselves wear. And as I put on the alb, I pray this: "Make me white, O Lord, and purify my heart, that being made white in the blood of the Lamb, I may deserve an eternal reward." The alb is a symbol and a reminder of our baptism, that when we are baptized, we are clothed in the white garment, which is a symbol that we have been won over by Christ's blood, by his death. That the waters of baptism reflect us being washed in the blood of Christ from the cross, and we have become a beloved son and a beloved daughter of God himself. And so again, we see this progression that I put on the amice, which takes away those things that tempt me and bring me away from God. And now I put on the alb, which reminds me of my identity as a beloved son of God. That God is not just some master that I serve, but he's a beloved father. And so again, I'm seeing this identity of myself being changed ever more closely into Christ, who is the Son of God himself. And so it's a reminder to me of my great dignity as a beloved son and daughter of God as I come in to celebrate Mass. The next item is the cincture, which I tie around my waist. And as I put the cincture on, I pray, "Gird me, O Lord, with the cincture of purity, quench in my heart the fire of concupiscence, that the virtue of continence and chastity may abide in me. And so the cincture is a reminder to me to live a life of purity and chastity, especially as a priest with my promise of celibacy. But this even goes back to the Old Testament. We hear of priests that before, when priests in the Old Testament were married, when priests, before they would celebrate a sacrifice in the temple, they were told to have no relations with their wife. And this wasn't because that the relations with your spouse are bad or wrong or anything like that, but it was a sign of the priest offering his, making a physical sacrifice in preparation for the sacrifice that was to be offered on the altar. And so it was an opportunity for the priest to embody kind of going against the, you know, physical desires and sacrificing those, offering those to God in a sign of being able to be more united with what Christ does himself as he offers his own body on the cross. I also think to maybe put it in like another way is thinking of the hour that we fast before coming to Mass, that we offer something up that is good, we refrain from doing something that is good, which is like food and drink, in order to prepare ourselves for the ultimate good, which is the spiritual food of the Eucharist. And we know that the greatest intimacy we can have is with God himself. And so this is a reminder to me of that, all of that, all that that entails. We next have the stole. And the prayer I say as I put on the stole is, Lord, restore unto me the stole of immortality, which I lost through the sin of my first parents. And unworthy as I am to approach thy sacred mysteries, may I gain eternal joy. And so the stole is a reminder to us of a few things. One, it is a reminder, as the prayer says, of my unworthiness to celebrate Mass, that I do not earn the right to be here as a priest and celebrate Mass, but it is through God's own gracious goodwill and graces that he has called me to this. But the stole is also a sign of authority, that when I preach and teach, I am not doing it through the authority of myself, but I am doing it through the authority of Christ. That's why the priest will wear a stole whenever he performs a sacrament. So if you think of the sacrament of confession, I'll wear the stole. It's a sign to the person coming to confession that I, Tim Shoemaker, am not forgiving your sins. I cannot do that. But it is Christ who is doing it through me. And the stole is a sign of that. Finally, we have the chasuble, which is the outermost garment. And the prayer that's said here is, O Lord, who hast said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light, grant that I may so carry it as to merit thy grace. The beautiful thing about the chasuble is that it represents charity. And it's the last thing that I put on, which is a sign that with everything I've already put on and have striven to do, all of it should be clothed and enveloped in charity, in love. That as the stole represents authority, that I do not abuse that authority or misuse it or use it as kind of something to just keep people in line, but I'm using my authority out of love for people, that I'm telling the truth with love. That with the amice, when I'm avoiding temptation, I'm not just doing it because I don't want to get in trouble or get caught doing it, but I'm doing it out of love for God, that I want to protect my relationship with him. That when I have the elbon, it's a reminder that I want to be a loving brother, a son and daughter of God. That when I have the cincture on, it's a reminder that I'm not just living a pure and chaste life because that's what the church asks me to, or just because it's practical or convenient as a priest, but I'm doing it out of love to offer myself more better for all of you and to offer it to God. And so the chasuble, when we do that, when everything we do is enveloped in love like the chasuble, then that prayer comes completely true, that his yoke is easy and my burden is light. That when we do things out of love, all of those sacrifices that we make become a joy for us to do rather than a hindrance. Now, finally, there's kind of, for as a bonus, there's another article that is not, you don't often see, but is a traditional garment, and that is the maniple. And the maniple is one that generally goes on the priest's arm, like so. And the maniple prayer is this: May I deserve, O Lord, to bear the maniple of weeping and sorrow, so that I may reap with joy the reward of my labors. And the maniple is a sign that the salvation, the work that we do, our striving for holiness, is work, is labor. And at times it's hard to do. As you think of Christ himself, the work of salvation dying on the cross, that's not an easy thing to do. He had to carry the cross, he was suffered and died. And so he labored to save us. And so in the same sense, our own life sometimes is this hard work, it's laboring. And the maniple, the practical reason for the maniple is that in the traditional masses, the masses were so long that they often had a maniple to be able to wipe all the sweat from their face, because they're actually laboring and sweating under how long the mass was, and it was a work. But it's a reminder to us of that sometimes, that as we know, our living our life of faith is not easy, and that sometimes it just is hard work to do. But doing that is worthwhile, especially when it's clothed in love. And so that's everything. I think it's beautiful to think of that, you know, the priest is preparing all of this before he even enters into the church doors. And I have to say, it really always prepares myself to transition from whatever I'm doing to be able to enter into Mass more fully and completely. And I think there's many of those things that each one of us can incorporate whenever we come to Mass as well. Okay, that was part one. Okay, well, the theme for this Sunday of Advent is rejoice. That's Gaudete Sunday is what we call, and Gaudete means rejoice. And it's why we wear the color rose and why the readings carry a more uplifting message that we hear. We even have St. Paul, who says to us in our second reading to rejoice always, that our whole life should be one of rejoicing. And we rejoice today for two reasons. And one reason is really obvious and the one that probably first comes to mind. But the second one, or I should say the first one actually, is just as important and must come prior to our second rejoicing. And this first obvious reason, which is actually the second, as we soon find out, is that we rejoice knowing that a Savior is going to be born to us, that all of our hopes and prayers for someone to save us is going to become actualized, that Christ will come to us. But before we can rejoice in that, there is something else we must realize and rejoice in first. And if we don't rejoice in this first one, we will never fully appreciate what happens on Christmas Day next week. And so today, we not only rejoice in the coming of a Savior, but in a realization that must come first. Namely, I am not God, and that is good. I am not God, and that is good. I think it's easy for many of us to fall into a Savior complex with ourselves, but especially with our loved ones, that I have to be the one to fix myself. I have to be the one to save myself. I have to do this, this, and this, and then I will be better. We can do this with other people, especially loved ones. And we can take that burden upon ourselves that I have to save this person. And maybe it's a son and daughter, or maybe it's a family member, or just another friend. But we can often place this great burden on ourselves and say, I have to be the one to fix this person, to fix this problem. And that we hear in the gospel that this is not the case. And we learn from the example of John the Baptist, who he had some people come up to him, and he is questioned, who are you? And John answers in a very revealing way, for he doesn't answer them directly. The first way he answers, the first thing he tells them, is who he is not. He says, I am not the Christ. Which can also be translated as, I am not the Messiah, and I am not the Savior. And so the first thing he tells them is that I am not someone who can fix all your problems. I am not someone who can save you. But there is another. And so today, we rejoice that you and I are not saviors. And this is something each one of us needs to know in our heart. For before we can celebrate Christ as the Savior, we need to rejoice in the fact that we are not the Messiah. So I have to admit, I think maybe you feel it too, but when I first heard those words, I'm not the Christ, I actually felt relief. It's like, oh. Because I'm sure you do as well, I often feel and act like I have to be the Savior, that you need to be at your best all the time. You need to have the answer to every person and question that comes your way. You need to be able to solve every problem in front of you, and that you're directly responsible for saving those around you, especially your loved ones. But none of that is true. You and I are not God, and that is good. That is cause for rejoicing, in fact. And thank goodness that you and I are not the Savior. One, because we know we cannot fulfill that role. But two, it means most importantly that we know who is. We know who to turn to for ourselves and who to bring others to as well. One who is far mightier than ourselves. One who brings glad tidings to the poor, heals the brokenhearted, proclaims liberty to captives. I can't do those things. Although sometimes I try and then I fail. But it's a relief to know and lead the people I love to the one who can do those things, one whose sandal strap I'm unworthy to even untie, Christ the Lord. So in this third week of Advent, we rejoice in the knowledge that we are not the Messiah. We cannot save ourselves. We cannot save those around us. And this is something to rejoice in, because then we're not trying to do something that we can't. And we do not try to claim a role in our life or others' lives that we cannot fulfill. And so we must be like John the Baptist, who when people come to him, we say, I am not the Christ. I cannot save you, even though I would very much like to. But that's not my role. What I can do, though, and what we can do, is to walk with people to him. And that no matter how long the road is or how slow they wish to go, we can accompany them through it all. And that is a truly beautiful role to be in. If we think of so many people who have influenced our lives, it wasn't that they tried to save us, but that they walked with us, accompanying us to Christ, the one who can do those things. And so knowing we are not the Savior and admitting that allows us to truly be able to walk with others and allows Christ to do his work, the work he alone can do. And knowing that gives us great cause to rejoice.